Thank you, Brother Bert.
So
and Mr. Ed.
They're all crying.
Yeah, I'm sure. Y'all probably cried before I get through.
Crying,
yeah. Thank you, Brother Ed, for your playing and for that song, Bert. That's what our message is going to be about today. That I was blind, but now I see. If you'll turn to John chapter 9, verse 1 through 11. John chapter 9, verses 1 through 11. Jesus heals the blind man. John chapter 9, 1 through 11. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is not this he who sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. He said, I am he. Therefore they said to him, how were your eyes opened? He answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and I received sight. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity we had to come and to remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and for what he did for us on Calvary's tree. We just thank you and praise you for him. As we look into your word today, I pray that you will help us to learn from it and that we'll have compassion and love and care for others like your son Jesus. And if any be here today that has not received their sight, that today will be the day where they come to see Jesus as who he is, our Lord and Savior. In his name I pray. Amen. Okay, we're going to go through these verses and just try to pull some things from it. If you look at verse 1, John 9, verse 1. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. So when you see, and he's it says passing by here, but we know because of what he did that he didn't just see the man and just pass by. Like I think about the priest and the Levite on the road to Jericho who went around the man who got beat up by robbers and left for dead. He didn't just pass him by, but he stopped like the Good Samaritan did. And so we know that Jesus had compassion on this man. Jesus saw the man, he moved toward the man, and he helped him. And I was thinking about, there's many of you here, I don't want to start naming names because I'll leave somebody out, but there's many here that help with Mount Jubilee Ministries. And I thought about that, our special friends that need some extra help, and how y'all are examples, y'all follow Jesus' example on helping them. You see our special friends that need a friend or need help, and you move toward them and you help them. You move toward them and talk with them and develop a relationship with them. One thing I've noticed many times is that the one who is ministering is also blessed. I think about my daughter Jenna. Most of y'all know she's got a housemate now. She's living in Greensboro with a girl named Paula, and Paula is always wanting to make relationships. She wants to get to know people. And I thought about this, that that's what y'all are doing. Y'all are going in and meeting these people and these participants and helping them and becoming friends with them. And they are friends to you and they bring so much joy. I remember Andy and Loretta saying before that they get such a blessing from sharing these stories with these participants at Camp Jubilee, which will be coming up in a few months. So it's just a blessing how a lot of times that I'm able to speak about Jesus and His example, and then I can quickly think of people here at this chapel that follow that example, and I can see it. So it helps me in my faith by that. I looked up on Mount Jubilee's website, and my daughter is working there, and a lot of y'all work there and volunteer there, so I just wanted to share a little bit about it. Mount Jubilee Ministries is a Christ-centered ministry partnering with people who have special needs, their families, and our community to provide productive living opportunities. And the Bible verse that they have on the homepage is Proverbs 31:8. Speak up for those who can't speak for themselves, for the rights of those who need an advocate. Currently, they have a program here in Reidsville. They have one in Winston. And they're close. I don't know exactly the timeline, but they're planning on starting one in Greensboro here. And it's a residential program. Most of them, I think, are meeting 3 days a week. They meet three days in Reidsville. I think it's 3 days in Winston. And then they're hoping to open one up in Greensboro here. And then there's a... I get a chill telling this next story, so I'm going to try to tell it. Jenna and Cecil and Teresa went to Texas to see a residential program. A lot of the parents have a concern when they pass on or when they're not able to care for their children. They want a place for them to be able to stay, a Christ-centered place, a safe place, a place that loves them. So that's their heart. So they went out to Texas to see people that are already doing it. They have these residential programs already out in Texas. So they went out there, they saw it, they liked what they had seen, and they're wanting to try to do that here in Reidsville or in the Triad, somewhere in the Triad. They're still working out the different things. So these two ladies that started that program, they flew from Texas to Reidsville. And they had a meeting together, and they ran through the meeting. They had everybody, the decision makers and everybody there on the board. These two ladies from Texas were on the board and listened to everything. And when they got through, they said, y'all have got everything you need. You just need one thing. You need someone that's has a child, a developer that has a child that is special, needs special needs, has special needs, or someone that has the heart for that. So they said, okay, they said, you need to pray for that. So Cecil and Jenna, and I'm not sure if maybe somebody else went with them, but took these two ladies to Short Sugars. The famous place in Reidsville is Short Sugars. If anybody's not been before, it's been there quite a while, and they've got good barbecues on most days. So I can't say I've got bad barbecue once or twice, so. But for the majority of the time, it's really good. So anyway, they went to Short Sugars, and Jenna was getting ready to sit down, and she got a call from Jelly. They call her Jelly. Her name is Angelica, just a wonderful Christian lady that works in Winston now, is helping with the program. And Jenna was thinking, I've got these people from Texas that are here. Should I take this call? And she said, well, something, there may be an emergency with a participant. So she told the ladies, I'm sorry, but I need to take this call just in case. So she stepped away, and got the call. And Jenny said, "You're not going to believe this." And Jenna said, "What? What's wrong? What's going on?" And said, "A man just called, who's got a daughter, Paula, who Jenna's living with right now, and wants her to be a part of the program. And you won't believe this. He's a developer." And this is before they even had a chance to pray. I'm sure there was somebody there that was praying silently. We're supposed to be praying without ceasing. So someone must have said a prayer. And it just amazed me how quickly that was. Now, I don't know how it's going to turn out. But he's already met with them several times. And he's trying to lead them through. He's a developer in the Pinehurst area. They live in Greensboro. So I don't know how the Lord's going to use it. But just... the timing on that, y'all need to be praying for a developer, and within an hour that was there. Jenna went back to the table and said, y'all are not going to believe this, told them what had happened. The two ladies looked at her and said, we believe this. This doesn't shock us at all. This happens all the time in Texas. So it's happening in North Carolina. So just the ministry, the way that y'all have helped, and the way the Lord's, I know the Lord's working in that program. So it just reminded me, Jesus saw a need. He saw a blind man and he stopped to help him. And I just encourage the rest of us to do that as well. See a need and stop and help out. Okay, if you look at verses 2 and 3. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. So I'm going to go through a couple of stories here. Sin may or may not be the cause of suffering. We know Job, his friends, blamed the sin that he was going through on him directly. We know in the big picture that because of the fall of man, Adam and Eve, that's when sin entered the world. So that is true in the big picture. All the suffering comes from sin. But specific sin that someone, a specific suffering that someone may have, not necessarily means it's because of their specific sin. Okay, so I just want to, it could be, and it may not be, and I'm just going to share a few examples. The story of the lame man in John 5, 12 through 14. Then they asked him, who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk? But the one who healed him did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you have been made well, sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. So most people, when they're reading this, they're thinking, well, whatever happened, it's not shown, but the lame man, it could have directly came from his sin that he was lame. I'm not sure exactly what happened, why he was lame. And then Jesus is saying, sin no more. Don't continue your life of sin. Something worse could happen. It could be something physical, or we know spiritually it can be much, much worse if he doesn't accept Jesus as his Savior. He's going to suffer in hell for eternity. So I'm not sure exactly what Jesus was talking about here. He's talking about physically or spiritually, but sometimes sin does cause direct suffering. Story of Miriam, Numbers 12:8. I speak with him. This is God talking about Moses. I speak with him, Moses, face to face, even plainly and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. Why then are you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? He's talking to Moses' brother and sister Aaron and Miriam. So the anger of the Lord was aroused against them, and he departed. And when the cloud departed from above the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam became leprous, as white as snow. Then Aaron turned toward Miriam, and there she was, a leper. So we see this is direct. Sometimes God sees a sin. They're talking against Moses, the one he'd chosen to speak through. They were talking against him. He had married someone they didn't want. They thought that they could do a better job than Moses. And God said no and struck Miriam with leprosy. So that's another example. Sometimes suffering does come from a specific sin. And then our brother Mark spoke to us about this on this past Wednesday. Eating of the Lord's Supper unworthily. This is in 1 Corinthians, I believe. I've got two different ones, but 11:27. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. And sleep here in this context means had died. So some of them, and this is in the Corinthian church, they were like eating, they were getting drunk, doing things in a very unworthy manner, not honoring the Lord at all. And he was striking some of them with weakness, sickness, and some of them even with death. So this is a serious warning, and I believe to us as well, that we need to ask for forgiveness for our sins before we come in and to remember the Lord, have short accounts if we have something against someone, get that straightened out so that we can come to the Lord in a worthy manner. Okay, and then sometimes suffering is to show the glory of God and is not a direct punishment for sin. Okay, I want to go ahead and read this. I think I'll have time. Job chapter 2. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and shuns evil, and still he holds fast to his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without cause?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, he is in your hand, but spare his life." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took for himself a potsherd with which to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of the ashes. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die." But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God and shall not accept adversity?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. So this is an example here of this suffering Job, and he lost most of his family. He got all these boils and things on him. He went through much more suffering than probably most of us have. But he didn't, even though his wife said, told him to curse God and die, he kept his integrity. He was faithful to God, even in the midst of the suffering. I think about people here that living in with daily pain. They get up and they're in pain. They go to bed and they're in pain. But they're faithful to the Lord. They come out to the chapel when they can. They're an encouragement to other people by the way that they're handling the suffering. Another example of this is 2 Corinthians 12:7-10. It's talking about Paul's thorn in the flesh. "And lest I, Paul, should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" Here we see an example of Paul. He's got this thorn in the flesh. We're not told exactly what that is. I'm going to show maybe an idea in a next passage here. But Paul had asked, whatever it was bothering him. He prayed 3 times, "Please deliver me from whatever this thorn was in his flesh." And then he realized, and I was doing some, as I was studying, I don't claim to be able to do this, but evidently Paul was, and I know some of y'all are. You get so close to the Lord that more than the pain that you're going through is God's glory is more important than what you're having to deal with. So he got to a point where that he was glad that he had it. This thorn in the flesh gave more glory to God. So he was thanking God, "Thank you for these infirmities because it's given more glory to you." And that can't be done in our human self. It has to be through the Holy Spirit for someone to be able to do that, to think about God's glory when you're in constant pain. And then Galatians 4:13-15 kind of continues this story about Paul and his infirmity is thorn in the flesh. He says, "You know that because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at the first." I'm not 100% sure it's the same one, but maybe. He had actually planned to go to preach to Perga. So he was supposed to go to Perga to preach. Because of this physical infirmity, whatever it was, he was able to stay and preach to the people there at Galatia. Verse 14, "And my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. What then was the blessing you enjoyed? For I bear you witness that, if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me." And I guess I had read my Bible too fast, as Dr. Jeff told us. But he was saying there that these people loved him so much. First of all, this didn't come from a direct sin that we can tell. He was suffering whatever this was. But I thought it was unusual that something may have happened related to his eyes. It may just be a figure of speech, or he may have trouble with his eyes here. And they were willing, whatever it is, these people that he was serving, they loved him so much. This was at first, before they later had some problems. But when he first preached to them, they were with him, and whatever that he needed, they were willing to do. They were willing, he said, to even pluck out your eyes and give them to me to help me. So to put all that together, don't assume that suffering comes directly because of a person's sin, like, example, Job's friends did. So I'm just thinking about ourselves, and I don't think this is a problem that we have, but maybe it is sometimes, that we see someone that is suffering, and someone would be callous to that and say, oh, it's because of their sin. I'm not going to help them. I don't want to help them. But we see somebody that's suffering, and whatever it is, if it's from their sin, we still want to go in and help them and share the gospel with them. Let them know that we care about them. If it's something that's not from direct sin, of course, we want to come in. If it's a brother or sister that's suffering, we want to come in and gather around them and support them. So whatever the case is of suffering, let's be like Jesus, have the eyes to see somebody needs me, and be willing to go out and help them, not just walk by them. Some other examples of how suffering is given so that God will get the glory. We saw the example of Jesus healing this blind man was to show that Jesus, the signs, and some people say 7, 8, but the reason that the book of John was written so people will know that who Jesus was, that he was the Son of God. So this is one of those signs here, that Jesus would be known as the Son of God, and that will give glory. We know whenever that Jesus is preeminent, and when Jesus is praised and worshiped, that's what God the Father wants. So it gives him glory when we give Jesus glory. And then I think about, and I've said this before, Johnny Erickson Tada. She was a great swimmer. She was diving down. She became paralyzed. And she has dedicated her life to the Lord, even though she's in a wheelchair, can't move, in what we would think, maybe not be able to do that much. And she has done a tremendous amount writing books, encouraging people that's going through suffering and things like that. I thought about our own Dr. Ray, who stayed faithful to the end as he was fighting that cancer, and how he was here. Sometimes he didn't feel like it. He was laying down because he felt so bad, but he was here with us, and what an encouragement that was. Through his suffering, he stayed faithful. Somebody that we know personally, that we loved, and he showed us that example. Our brother Andy was sharing with us this morning about Fanny Crosby, how she had this infirmity of blindness, and she was thanking the Lord for blindness, as Paul was thankful later about the thorn in the flesh. She was thankful that she wasn't distracted with the things that we see, and she was able to write thousands of songs to give glory to God. So we see examples, and I'm sure y'all could think of many more, where people had suffering, and in the midst of that suffering, they gave glory and honor to God. And that's what we should strive to do. So who do you know that might be suffering physically, emotionally, or spiritually that you can help and give glory and give God the glory from it? Don't just focus on the physical and the emotional. A lot of times I think we see the physical and we try to meet that need and help that need, maybe emotional. But let us not forget the most important part is the spiritual. When someone's suffering, when someone's hurting, let's go with them, share a Bible verse with them, pray with them, if they're not a believer, witness to them. Tell them about Jesus. A little boy that reminds, I think I told you all this story, but there's a little boy on the Bible bus, and he came out. This was when we were still wearing masks, and he said, "I'm glad we have to wear a mask." And he had glasses on. They make fun of me because of the way my face looks, the shape of my face. And so that when you hear that, it just breaks your heart. And then he was saying stuff that's a little bit on the verge of being inappropriate, trying to get attention from other students or from the teachers. And he doesn't have the best home life. So we've been praying for him. One of the teachers has got this out of the, I think she has about 90 or 100 students, but she prays for all of them. But this little boy, she calls, tells me by name, don't forget to pray for this little boy. She's got a burden for this little boy and thinks that the Lord is going to reach him and do mighty work through him. So it's just encouraging to see that when you see him as everything, your human tendency is just say, well, just kind of leave him to the side. But she wanted him to come up and help with the song and try to encourage him. So just seeing an example of that on how we should reach out to people that are having a tough time and try to share God's love with them. Okay, now if you look on, go back to our main passage, John 9, verse 4. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. So I know some of y'all, I know our brother Clark, he works second shift. So this doesn't mean quite as much to us as it did back then. But there wasn't much light back then at night. Candles and torches and things, but not electricity. So it was harder. So what they would understand here is that most of their work was done during the day. That when the night comes, nobody works. And John 6:38 says, Jesus has come down from heaven. I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. So Jesus was here, and he was leaving, we think it was probably Jerusalem, he sees this blind man. This was not by a happen chance. This was not a coincidence. This man... And we can't, it's hard for me to wrap my mind around this, but this man, God knew this man was going to be there. He knew he was going to be born blind. He was going to be right there. Jesus came and stopped because God asked him to, came down from heaven not to do his will, but the Father's will. The Father's will was for him to heal this blind man. So he stopped and did that. And I was just thinking about this in our own lives that we need to pray. And sometimes we might not know exactly what to do, but the general principles, if someone needs help, help them. If someone's hurting, go and say a kind word to them. So we need to do the same. Use our time for the Lord and use it with gladness. Ephesians 5:16 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Colossians 4:5 says, walk in wisdom toward those who are the outside, redeeming the time. And then Psalm 100, verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. So don't waste our time. Help people. When people need help, help them. Try to look for opportunities to help somebody. I'm going to help somebody today. Try to think, I'm going to help at least one person today. I'm going to say something nice to somebody. I'm going to encourage someone. I'm going to call somebody that maybe is shut in, that's not able to get out. I'm going to try to encourage people. And this was an encouragement to me this past Thursday night right down the road here at the Bible banquet. And again, I like to encourage us here because the parents here are doing such a wonderful job in the Lord. I know that. But we had so many young people that were serving at the Bible banquet. It's so encouraging to see that. And it's not like you see some people and they just moping around. And it's not like that at all. They are smiling, happy to be there. And I thought about that verse, serve the Lord with gladness. They were doing that. I hope she doesn't mind me saying this, but Lily was over there mopping the floor, working hard. And she was just happy about it. I mean, she was wanting to do it. You could tell with her face it was a joy to her to be doing that. And it spoke to me. Our little buddy Ben Bullins, he came up and I was the welcomer. I told Lisa when I retired I was going to be a welcomer at Walmart. So I felt pretty comfortable doing it. But Ben came up and said, "Can I help you? Can I give out the programs? Can I give out the prayer cards?" They had one with a magnet and one without a magnet. And he would ask each one, "Do you want a magnet or no magnet? Magnet or no magnet?" And he did a great job. And then when it was getting toward the time to start, he said, "I want to go help my sisters." It wasn't like, "Well, I'll be through here in a minute and I'll get to go play or do what." He said, "No, I want to go help my sister serve the food." And then after the food was served, he wanted to come up back with the big boys and hand out the offering plates to take up the offering. So he was so happy and encouraged me that he wanted to serve, and he was serving with gladness. So, and there were many more that did that. So I just want to tell you what an encouragement it is to see the young people here willing to serve and serve with gladness. If you look at John 9, verse 5, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. John 8:12 says, "Then Jesus spoke to him, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.'" Okay, so Jesus was talking about while he's in the world, he's the light. And he's talking about his public ministry. So he was the light. He was going to show them the way. He was the way. So while he was here, he had about 3.5 years of public ministry. He was the light. And he says, "While I'm here, I'm the light." Okay, but we know he died. He rose again. Now he's at the right hand of the Father. Who's the light? We are the lights. "Since Jesus ascended back to heaven, believers are now the lights. As Jesus stated in Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So we are the lights. This reminds me of the song. I love it, but I think probably y'all would probably think it's too much of a kid song, but "This Little Light of Mine," if you ever get a chance to look it up, it's a tremendous song. It's got these little light bulbs going down the road, and there's one light, and the rest of them are not lit up, or they're just kind of on the side. But then he's letting that light shine, and then the next frame you see two little light bulbs, and then the next frame you see three or four, and it keeps on growing and growing. So I just encourage you to keep letting your light shine for Jesus when people see these things that I've been encouraging y'all about, that I've been encouraged from. People see it. You don't realize it. When people see those lights that y'all are shining, that's something different. That's not normal for young people to want to serve like that with a smile. What is it? What's going on? And they reach out and see what it is, and the difference is they have Jesus in their heart and they want to serve Him. Another example of this light shining, and I've talked about this before, but most of you know we have a group of young men that meet, I think it's every other Thursday night, 14 to 25, and they're just keeping it going. I think our brother Ray got it started and then kind of turned it over to our brother Justin and Josh, and they're just keeping on going with it. And it seems like it's maybe getting even more and more, and they're bringing friends in, and they're seeing that light. And for me, it's amazing because I was 14 to 25 one time, and I didn't have a lot of my friends that were doing that. And I wasn't doing it like I probably should have, so it's a testimony to me. And I was thinking about a young woman, a young man that goes off to college. And I don't want to say who it is, but someone that's real close to me said, "Todd, when a boy or a girl go off to college, they are going to get involved with alcohol and premarital sex." He just like said, matter of fact, that's going to happen. And I started thinking I'm saying, no, that doesn't have to happen. That doesn't have to happen. If a person has the power of the Holy Spirit, they're staying in God's Word, and they get involved with a local church, or they have Christian friends to keep them accountable, they don't have to do that. That's not true. They can be a light. And I know for a fact, because I went to NC State years ago, and I love the school, and I root for them. But there was a lot of bad stuff, a lot of evil there back in the mid-80s. And I can't even imagine what Jeremiah and some of them are having to go through down there and at the other schools now. But I think about, no, they don't have to go down that path. They can be a light. And trust me, if you stand up for Christ on a public school, public college, you will be a light. People will notice it quick. So it's an opportunity, and I know that it's sad that sometimes you say, I don't know about this, about my children going there. And yes, it is tough to, I remember dropping Jenna off at UNCW. Lisa told me, said, Todd, you do not cry. You do not cry. So she had got me so saved that I didn't cry. And then she started crying. And I thought, I'm the one that's supposed to be crying. And then she ends up crying. But anyway, it's hard to drop them off at those. But I just encourage you, mamas and daddies and grandpas and grandmas, to pray for your kids. They can be a light on those campuses and make a difference. I know God can use them at these places. John chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. When he said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with his saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed, and he came back seeing. Okay, so some people say, why did he heal him like this? Why did he get the dirt and spit in it and make clay to do his eyes? I really honestly don't know. What some people say is that maybe he didn't even have eyeballs, and the way that Adam was made out of the dust, that he was showing that he was able to take the dust, of course, and then make the eyeballs. Okay, I don't know that for sure, but that's what some people believe. But whatever the case is, that's the way that he did it. Maybe it was to test his faith. He asked him to go and wash. I know he could have healed him right there on the spot, but he asked him to go and to wash. This reminds me, I was going to ask, Dr. Jeff always says, I always try to guess which verse, because I have so many verses, I always try to guess which verse you're going to. But I don't like putting people on the spot, but it's 2 Kings chapter 5. I was going to see if he could do it, but I don't like being embarrassed, so I don't want to make sure I didn't do that. All right, this is the story of Naaman. 2 Kings 5, 1 through 14. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given the victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, if only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he could heal him of his leprosy. And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel. The king of Syria said, go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy. And it happened, when the king of Israel read the letter, that he tore his clothes and said, am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me. So it was, when Elijah, the man of God, heard what the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Then Naaman went with his horses and his chariot, and he stood at the door of Elijah's house. And Elijah sent a messenger to him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan. This is the part I want you to get. Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. But Naaman became furious and went away and said, Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spoke with him and said, My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you have not done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was made clean. This makes me think of people today when they hear the gospel and they say, No, I don't want that. I'm going to get there my own way. I'm a good person. I'm going to do these good things. I'm going to get to heaven through my own strength, through my own way. Here we see Naaman. This wasn't for him. This was beneath him to go to the River Jordan. He didn't like the way that God was using the prophet here to heal him, the prophet of God here. He didn't want to do that. But we see the blind man. Jesus told him to go. He put the mud on his eyes, told him to go. He went and he cleansed. He wiped off his eyes and he could see. He didn't question him. And that makes me think of today. We know, people know that the way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. That you can't do it. We can't do it ourselves. This is the way to be cleansed. This is the way to get sight, is through Jesus Christ. This is the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He died for you. He died for your sins. You have to trust in Him, accept Him, believe Him, trust Him as your Savior. Give your life to Him, and He will save you. And it's so sad that so many people, they don't like the way that they're telling them. They want to do it their own way. So my prayer is today that today will be the day, if anybody is like that, that your heart will be softened. And Jesus said to go and be cleansed this way through me, that you'll accept that way. John chapter 9, 8 and 9, closing up here. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, Is not this who sat and begged? And verse 9 said, Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. He said, I am he. So they had the person, they were asking for a sign. These Pharisees, show us a sign, we'll believe. Show us a sign, we'll believe. He did all these signs. They still weren't believing. Here was the man that they walked by every day and just walked by him and probably didn't even consider him. But they saw him, and now he was healed. And they said, Is this really that one? They knew it was him, but their premonition, they said, This can't be Jesus. They didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. They didn't trust in him, so they didn't want to believe that Jesus did this. They had the guy right in front of them that was healed. He had been blind from birth. He was sitting out there begging every day, and they didn't believe. So I can't explain it. I'm just thankful that the Lord showed me who Jesus was at an early age, and I was able to, through the grace of God, accept him. Verses 10 and 11 in closing. Therefore they said to him, How were your eyes opened? He answered and said, A man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and I received sight. I went, I washed, and I received sight. He did what the way that Jesus asked him to do it. People wanted to know how this man received the sight. He told them exactly what happened. We should do the same thing. I think about our brother Tim, how he's been such a strong testimony of recently getting saved, and the changed life that he talks about, that's what he's telling people. He said, This is how I was. This is how I am now. People can see the changed life. And I liked what he said, because I got saved when I was young, and I thought, I don't have the same testimony. Mine's not as powerful. And it was saying that you're not the same as the ones who were not saved. You're different. People can see that you're different. So that helped me out, and I appreciate that. But He told him how he wanted him to be cleansed and he did it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. So you got a choice. Some people want the darkness. They want to stay in their sin. They want to stay in the evil. They don't want the light. 1 Peter 2, 9, though, the other choice is, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim and pray the praises of him who called you out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. He's called you out of the darkness and into the marvelous light. So just thankful for this, and I'm going to, either Brother Ray's going to come up and sing, or he's going to play a short video for us. I hope it's the video. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for that many of us have seen the light. We've seen Jesus for who he is, the Son of God, and we accepted him as our Savior. I pray there, if there's a blind one here today or blind one here and over the internet, that today will be the day that they receive their sight, that they give their life to Jesus. In his name I pray. Amen.